Have you ever gotten ice cream from the supermarket and you scoop it out, but it just doesn't have that ice cream parlor taste? Well, guess what? Did you know you can find real, unbelievably creamy ice cream at the grocery store? Yeah, that's right. Tillamook ice cream is made with more cream, so you get smooth, dreamy scoops each time. I'm not going to lie. The flavors are delicious and in family-sized cartons. I love their vanilla bean. Vanilla bean, to me, is the way that you judge anyone's ice cream, and their rich vanilla ice cream made with real crushed vanilla bean seeds is delicious. Or their Oregon strawberry. Oh, I love it. Sweet strawberry ice cream with ripe Oregon strawberry pieces. So, so good. Plus, you got to check out their Mudslide flavor. It's smooth chocolate ice cream with a ribbon of rich fudge and chocolatey chips. Oh, it's so good. I got to go get some ice cream right now. Plus, you know you're in good hands with Tillamook brand. They make over 200 different dairy products, and the brand is farmer-owned and led by dairy experts. Boy, oh boy, I love them all, and you're going to love them too. Whether it's birthday cake, peaches and cream, mint chocolate chip, banana split, or cookies and cream, there is a flavor for you. Find Tillamook ice cream near you at Tillamook.com. That's T-I-L-L-A-M-O-O-K.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. How is your sock drawer looking? I know when I open up mine, it is a sad scene. There's lone socks, holy socks. Well, guess what? It's spring cleaning, which means Bombas Spring Collection is here, and they have new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They've got stripes and florals, all new vintagey colored rib socks. I love them. They are the best sock your feet have ever been in. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers and use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. If Mean Girls was a person and then that person suffered blunt trauma to the head, you would have brats. We saw brats, so you know what that means. Takes a ball to let them say what that verb is, talk about them, to answer the question, how did this get made? Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? That was a new theme song from Mick Jagger, and I'm glad I let the little tambourine play out at the end. Welcome. We are talking about Bratz today, the 2007 film based on the popular children's toy. I am joined, as always, by my co-host Jason Manzoukas. Jason, how are you?
I can't believe Mick Jagger did a theme song for us. That's pretty huge.
That's Mick's, no, it's Mick Jagger. This is a Mick.
Mick Steps. Jagger from the Rolling Stones.
No, it's Nick. It's, yeah. Also joining us, as always, is our co-host, June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. I'm excited to talk Bratz with both of you.
Oh, boy.
But we are joined by a very special guest. She is somebody that I think is fantastically funny. She has a brand new series on Vimeo. Just go to Vimeo.com. Check it out. It's called 555. Please welcome Kate Berlant.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, boy, Kate. How did you feel about Bratz?
Bratz!
Okay.
Gotta get them Bratz!
I have to be honest, I loved it. I'm pro.
You're pro Bratz.
I paused it, certain frames. I was like, well, it's shot on film. It's beautiful. The colors are vibrant. I'm not kidding. I have a lot to talk about.
She pops.
I will say that I enjoyed this movie. I find myself sometimes watching these movies and checking, like, how much longer. And there was something about this that had a nice forward momentum to it.
See, I paused it at one point to be like, all right, I've got to be near the end. And I was... still had a full hour left. I was like, how have I only watched 30 minutes of this?
Oh, this movie is 2 hours long, by the
way. Holy cow.
It's an hour and 50
really?
Minutes. Yeah, an hour and 50 minutes.
I thought it was 1:32. I was like, how economical.
No. This is like pushing. This is longer than The Dark Tower and Dunkirk. This movie is longer
than... By the way, and it's in 70 millimeter. I watched it in 70 mil. I rented a theater and I got them to play it in 70 mil.
Well, here's my question, just to throw out as a general, before we even get into specifics. Ugh. Is this movie...
a parody? Is it satire, or is it supposed to be straight down the middle? I can't.
Oh no, this movie is not at all a parody or satire. This is like, but I feel like this is Mean Girls or cheerleader movie. What is it?
Bring it on.
But for like younger girls, I feel like this is aimed at like tween girls, not teen girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. There's one scene. I mean, it's like where to start with Bratz. But there's one scene, like a makeover scene, where they all go shopping.
Makeover scene?
Okay, they go to the mall. The one where they're prepping
at the Grove.
They're prepping for the Sweet 16.
Yes.
By the way, one of the characters, Meredith, has a second Sweet 16. That was one of the jokes that made me laugh in the movie.
The presence of her MTV. Second.
Oh, the MTV
yes,
producer.
Yes, MTV produced Sweet 16. But there's one moment where they are getting made over, and then there's a bunch of younger girls sort of sitting at a, I don't know, island of some sort, and they're making them over. And that's when I realized, like, oh,
this
that's
is for
the audience.
Yes, this movie is for those little girls. This movie is for little girls that play with those dolls.
Now,
not
is there
anybody
any
else.
More information? Is there a TV show that we should have seen?
The doll. The doll is what this movie is based on. The dolls were very popular.
Keep your eye on the doll.
Yes.
But are there books surrounding the doll? You can't just keep on saying the doll.
The dolls, there were four 10-inch dolls released in 2001. Yasmin, Chloe, Jade, and Sasha.
Yasmin.
And then a fifth brat was added in 2015, and her name is Raya.
And what is her nationality?
Raya? Wait a minute. Did she invent the dating app?
She probably did.
That's Raya the brat invented the celebrity dating app.
But the Bratz did spin off to Bratz Kids, Bratz Babies, Little Bratz, Bratz Boys,
Little Bratz?
Itsy Bitsy Bratz, and Bratz Pets, not Pete's, Bratz Pets.
Wow.
And the Bratz Babies with a Z are very disturbing because they are as sexy as the Bratz.
No. Okay. Bratz were a doll that I remember being like criticized because they were too skinny and had too big heads, right? That was the thing.
They look
Bratz.
Like the Steve Madden ads. Their eyes are very big and
Now here's what I do appreciate about the Bratz though. I mean, 10 inches. So that's like taller than a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
Is it
right?
They're louder than Barbie.
They're louder than Barbie.
Yes.
That's what I think they sort of are a response to, which in some ways look, this movie was nothing like I thought the dolls were, having seen them only a few times. I thought the Bratz were Bratz.
I would have assumed as much.
I too would have thought that. Like,
they were not Bratz.
Badass, like.
If anything, Meredith and her group would be the Bratz.
Yeah.
They're reappropriating Bratz.
Right. They embraced the Brat.
They didn't really.
The good thing about the Bratz is
I'm showing some pictures of the Bratz. Just so you can see.
I think it's cool that they feel like a response to Barbie in that they are multicultural.
Well, sure. And they are also young. Like, I think Barbie is meant to be an adult
makeup
woman,
on,
right?
Jason. Yeah. They're not.
They're high school is high
How
school
old
kids.
Do you think Barbie is?
She's a professional woman. She works. She drives a car. Okay. She has an apartment.
How old
She's
is Barbie?
A woman. I would say Barbie is in her mid-20s.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting.
I was going to say 27.
27?
What do you think?
I think Barbie's 21 if she's a day.
Okay.
No. I agree.
Oh,
I feel like she's in the 20s.
I think
25.
Malibu Stacy is 21.
No,
but Barbie's
I think Malibu
like 24.
Stacy's 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to make some calls.
27 probably isn't right.
27. Yeah, I think
she's too close to 30 at 27. Yeah. 24.
Regardless, I think Barbie is an adult, let's say in her 20s, and I think the Bratz are high school kids. Right?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
They're freshmen in high school.
Well, and who becomes juniors.
I have a fundamental question about this movie.
Yes.
What is the length of time this movie takes place during?
A whole year.
No, more than two.
3 years?
Because, 8 minutes in, they're like, 2 years later.
Yes.
And you're like, what?
Yes.
Yeah, jumps.
They kept saying, it's been 2 years. And I was like, since when?
Comic. And since what?
Since what happened? They walked into the cafeteria.
And like a couple of people waved at each of them. And they all were like, later, skater. And they basically stopped talking to each other for two full years.
I think it's powerful.
And they didn't really have, they didn't seem to have a breakup, though. They just seemed to
fade away.
Involved with.
They ghosted each other.
Yeah.
They were brutalized into categories. which women are and teen girls are more than anyone. And
one category being mimes.
Well, that was the thing. Sometimes, this is why I thought the movie had elements of satire in it, because they would be like, oh, those are the loners. And then the mime was hanging out with some of the loners, but then there's also a table full of mimes. So there was, and there, like, I felt like there was some elements. Like, when that kid jumped in the pool with the leather jacket on, he swam up to the little brother.
I'm ready to talk about
it. I could write a dissertation on the little brothers in teen movies. This kid is cut from the same cloth as the Teen Witch little brother.
Yes.
Like, 100%.
I disagree.
Wow.
I think the Teen Witch brother has so much charm and is so delightful.
Yes.
This little brother made me feel sick. And this little brother is a fucking pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's hitting on
Meredith's little sister.
9-year-old?
Little sister.
Yes. But how old is he? That's what I wrote. Because he's flirting. He keeps saying me likey.
It's disgusting.
Which I did not care for.
You didn't like
it. I didn't like him saying me likey to the child who is in the movie. But then I was like, I don't know, maybe they're in the same grade? I don't know what this is.
No,
I thought
Jason,
she was younger. He was younger.
She's much younger. Okay.
She has a lot of sass, though.
She was a star.
Yeah,
she is great.
She was terrific.
She's one of my favorite parts of the entire movie because she just, you know, she knew how to throw it back at her sister. I mean, her sister isn't...
These are the jokes here, folks, is what she says at one point.
Well, here's something I'll just put in your bonnet. So the
people... Now, just for the listener, June is wearing a bonnet.
Yeah, we make everybody now wear bonnets. This movie was written by a writer of The Man Show and The Ollie G Show.
What?
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the story was by Adam Della Pena and David Ellenberg. And the Ollie G Show and The Man Show. That's some of their credits.
Wow.
Well, listen, the basic story behind this movie is, I will say, there's something about it that's kind of original, which is it's not just Mean Girls.
Right.
The idea, the basic premise is that in high school, you're divided into these groups, and so nobody can ever fully be themselves, because what it is to be themselves is to be more than one thing, which the high school hierarchy and structure does not allow.
Well, because they're running this high school like a prison, which is set up by John Voight.
And that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Right.
The fact that that was John Voight kept blowing my mind.
When he was voguing at the end.
Yes.
He's
John having fun.
John Voight, like, by the way.
In a big fake nose.
Yes. And ears.
And ears?
Yes, nose and ears fake. It was interesting because watching this movie in the beginning, when you see the names pop up, I'm like, this is a movie that came out in 2007. I'm like,
is
I should
it
recognize.
2007?
Yeah, I should like recognize a name or something. And the first and only name really I recognized was John Voight. And then later Kadeem Harrison, who was on Different World. But that's even a deep pull. But I mean, I didn't recognize and still don't recognize.
Yeah
they didn't. I don't know. I didn't. This is like a movie that was trying to launch a lot of new talent.
It was also like it did. Like I have no. And again, I do think this is. I kept coming back to like, oh, I think this is a movie made and marketed to children. So like, I don't. Because I was like, I similarly was like, oh, I don't have any reference point for this. I don't have any cultural awareness of this. I know the dolls more than I know that this movie exists. You know, but in a way I was like, oh, but I think it was probably marketed towards like 10 and 11 year olds. So like, I don't think it was meant to be Mean Girls or have that kind of crossover, big, huge.
No.
I think it was like for kids and would play on like Nickelodeon or something. Or I don't know, something like that.
HBO Go.
Or HBO Go.
Where I found it.
Same.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it. I bought it.
You did.
Oh,
that says everything.
It was $7.99.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you own it?
I own
Lucky
Bratz.
You.
I own Bratz. It really does look pretty amazing. There's elephants in this movie.
The clown stuff?
Yep.
The clown stuff I paused the frame and I was like, yes.
Yeah, this is sublime. Cool. The clothing, though, I'm surprised to hear it was released in 2007. I found the clothes to be so gross.
Shocking.
Shockingly terrible.
Belts. The use of belts.
Belts where I've never seen them before.
On. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just hemlines and pants over skirts over
almost Renaissance.
Or,
like, yeah, I feel like the costume designer was like, modern Renaissance flair with like kind of where are they?
We're creating our own look. It's a, you know, it's like it's futuristic fashion. You know, that kind of like, well, it's fashion that doesn't exist, so they could probably get it for cheaper because if they had to buy like name brand stuff, they couldn't afford it. Like, I feel like this movie was
like shipwrecked. I think it's basically, I think if this had been made for teenagers, everybody would have dressed normally. But because they were marketing this movie towards kids, they can't dress them up in like too revealing of things. Or I feel like they were overcorrecting in terms of, well, no, we're selling a message to very young people. And it can't be that everybody's dressed in like little things, which is, I feel like, what a high school movie at that time would have been.
Right.
Am I wrong? I don't know.
So you think they made them more modest?
Well, yes. Even seeing everybody's them- always wearing long sleeves.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow.
It's super weird. Everyone is always wearing sleeves and long pants. And it's like nobody, like the raciest it gets is cheerleading uniforms, frankly. You know?
All right, calm down.
Which I was very into.
I want to talk about the cheerleader's dad, Kadeem
and those
Harrison.
Sexy vibes.
Oh no, no! That the cheerleader's dad, Kadeem
and those
Harrison.
Horny clowns.
Oh no, no! Clowns. How did you do?
I did all right. You know, they're ladies.
Jason has a fear of clowns.
Less a fear of clowns, and just like it brings back a real trauma in my life when there were clowns driving around my hometown. Trying to lure kids into a van with candy.
I mean, that did happen.
Nobody believed me. And then there were multiple news reports that said it was true.
Yeah. Well, there's news reports that they're happening now. Maybe you spurned it.
Are you saying this podcast has started the new resurgence of clown abduction?
Yes, I feel like clown.
By the way,
that's
a vote of confidence in this podcast. That speaks to our reach.
This is what I love about movies like this, because you can go very, it's, I do agree that the moral of this movie is strong, right? Like, it's like, you can be many things. You can be a fashion designer and this amazing science mind who can mix two chemicals and make a fireworks display in the lab.
That was like Harry Potter.
Yeah, that was.
And it went for too long, just by like four seconds. Like, and cut. And then,
That was, and that's where, but. The dad in the movie, when you're first introduced to the cheerleader's dad, he's in the kitchen, tight on a toaster, and he's trying to get the bread in the toaster, and he's like, I can't, And she comes over, and she's like, boom, and she hits it, and he's like, oh, what would I do without you? That is a problem that no one has. Like, that's not a, like, I can understand a dad going, I don't know emojis or text.
Supposed to, like, now that he's divorced, he can't do anything.
It just seemed like.
Later, he's playing chess alone.
Yeah, that was sad.
I felt bad for him. He, like, when she goes to college, he's going to die.
I didn't know what they were setting up there, though, like, with that moment in the toaster and the chess moment, because I do think there is that storyline we've seen before where, like, divorced dad or widowed dad tries to make the teenage girl, like, the surrogate wife.
Right.
And it's
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
My stepmom is an alien.
Exactly. But was that what was – I mean, for they also set up this story that the parents are so hostile to each other, and yet the mom walked in and she seemed
perfectly
pleasant.
Yeah. And but then, like,
she
said something like this. She said, and remind your father that you have a dentist appointment on Thursday. And then he was like, ugh, like – again? You're giving me this again? But it was an inappropriate response to that thing. It would have been like, and tell your father to you know, pay the mortgage or whatever, you know, it's like, but she's like, and remind your dad about the dentist appointment. He's like, ugh, woman.
I'm like, what? I think like they were trying, maybe it got cut. They were trying to set up these stories where the parents were learning alongside the children.
A lot was cut.
Everybody.
I think a lot was cut.
You can feel the floor.
Wait,
you can feel the cut
on the floor.
And that may have been the crossover elements that would have elevated Bratz to.
I'm curious, as a Bratz owner, Paul, is there deleted scenes as part of your purchase?
There is a DVD commentary, which I got a couple notes on here.
a legitimate gasp from Kate.
That's how I knew that John Voight is wearing a prosthetic nose and ears.
Wait, you didn't know that from just looking at his nose?
Well, I knew the nose was definitely weird, but I didn't know the ears.
Okay. Why is he wearing a prosthetic nose?
I don't know.
My best
guess is so that people might not recognize him.
Oh, so it seemed like
that's what
in
I
the contract.
The director,
so strange.
The director also pointed out that that scene in the grove he shot in 15 minutes.
I was wondering. I was always. I'm always looking for background. Yeah. Like, who's going to turn and look right in the camera?
I actually liked seeing them around L.A. I like seeing like, hey, I know that place.
It's a film about Los Angeles. and we can't separate it. This from is one the Annie characters.
Hall. I mean,
it's
this is like L.A.'s letter. Annie Hall.
It's a love letter to Los Angeles, the city of dreams.
And that's and I will continue this Annie Hall thing and say that's where it's some of the comedy. It's like there's some big moments. There are these, you know, these kind of larger than life moments.
Here's big life questions.
My other thing, the other thing that I was obsessed with watching this movie was that there is never more than 10 lines of dialogue spoken in a row before a song starts playing.
True.
Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes that song is then abruptly ushered out and a new song starts. Sometimes a song only plays for like a verse and then it turns into another song. Like, this is so heavily soundtracked, this movie, that I felt as though I was losing my mind.
Well, I will also argue that this movie builds to a singing performance from the Bratz, but they are not established. Like, in a weird way, I would have liked the movie to start as they're in a band or they like to sing together.
Right.
And then they go their separate ways and then they come back and they show everyone what they got.
I love this.
It would have been a huge script note. Yeah. I needed that.
Just show me where they get this. But instead,
we don't understand. The only one, Yasmin wants to be a singer, but she does. We never see her sing. She's too shy to sing. And so she doesn't sing until an hour into the movie.
Yes.
Is when, and the only person that sees her sing is a deaf. We have to talk about the deaf.
That's
boy.
A different hour.
We have to talk about the deaf boy.
Well, this is the kind of movie where
even like everybody like triumphs. You know, even the deaf boy can hear basically.
He's hot.
This is basically.
He's so hot.
This is when she meets him. Here, take a listen.
Tell me where you're going. Are you blind? Hello.
Close up
no,
on her mouth.
I'm deaf.
What?
I'm deaf.
You don't sound deaf.
Well, you don't look ignorant, but I guess you can't judge a book, right?
Kaboom.
And that is the introduction of our only love interest in the film.
No, that's not true. There's
I don't think that other guy. Oh, right.
There's Jade. Is he in the science club or is he?
No,
there's two other love interests. Oh. There's that guy who's amazing, Derek, who ends up doing stand up comedy.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Derek.
He's a brilliant
and
actor.
And also, the Meredith's boyfriend goes with Chloe.
Well, yes, because that's Meredith's boyfriend, when they're in the grove, like they see him across the way and. I would say this is a note that I would give in a movie that is actually well directed. He glances at her in a way almost as if you would go like, oh, like, it's so quick. And he's checking you out. He was not. He didn't seem to me checking her out. He seemed to like.
Well,
glance.
You mean the deaf boy?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the deaf boy?
That was the deaf boy.
I was confused by all these faces. I will say.
Did you have white guy face blindness?
I did. I had white guy face blindness. I had white girl face blindness.
You had Bratz blindness.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about. You choose your tone and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning. And when I launched my book, I said I am doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family, we had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Did anyone else think that when Chloe first walked into the house, that the mom was dead?
It was
yes.
What?
I did. Yes,
I did.
I thought, oh
mom?
Wow,
because she's like mom, mom, and the mom is on the, lying yeah. dead on the couch. I assumed she was dead.
I thought it was like, alcohol.
Well, here
abuse.
We go, brats. Yeah,
because then the way she came out of her mania, she's like, had to.
I wonder if it's supposed to be that.
Crazy.
I wonder if it's supposed to be that, but they can't do it. Because I do think again, I don't think they can indulge in any of the harsher storylines of any of this, you know, because it's for 10-year-olds.
Now, my question is, so Chloe ends up, they win the talent show.
Spoiler alert.
So Chloe ends up, they decide as a group that Chloe's going to be the recipient of the money from the scholarship.
Well, first of all, they decide that when there's a tie, one person gets the trophy and the other person gets the full scholarship to college.
Of your choice, to any college of your choice. It doesn't matter if you get in or not.
That's cool.
That seems
cool. Really, really messed up.
It seems crazy.
Yeah. Okay, but Chloe could, I would say, arguably, has the best chance of a scholarship on her own because she's a
very good soccer player.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down, too. That's a soccer scholarship in the making,
I don't think you'd call her a soccer whiz.
Well, June
was a soccer whiz, weren't you?
I was. So
that's what you called it?
Recognize this game.
Yeah. June traveled around Long Island.
I believe it.
That's right.
When we got married, her dad referenced the great victories of June's life. And
one of them was soccer?
No, the whole speech was about soccer.
Yeah. Amazing.
Wow. The entire speech was just like a list of all of my stats.
Yeah. Really? Like, literally embracing the stats. Awesome. And this is after you've done a lot of successful work as an actress.
Yeah, not mentioned.
because I don't know any other names. When they're in that kitchen, and she picks up that she's like, oh, you guys are angels. Then she picks up a donut and puts it not over her head like a halo, kind of like up, like almost like you would put like an ice pack on your head, like, oh, I'm hungover. It's like,
yeah,
hey, like it was odd. I don't know why.
We were talking about Chloe's dad. Dead?
That's not okay. We don't go there. I don't talk about Chloe's dad.
Ever.
No, they never.
It's like, wow. It speaks very loudly, but it is unspoken. I don't know. It seemed really taboo. It seemed like
I think her mother's alcoholism drove him away.
I think
maybe she killed him. Maybe the mom killed him.
I think they did a lot of work to show different family structures.
Right.
Some children are raised by a grandparent, as is with Bobby. Some people, divorce is an issue. We've got the divorce. Was there the nuclear family?
I don't think there was.
And that's why the show is punk, the movie.
That is. It's a very, this movie is pushing boundaries.
Well, wait
that's
a minute.
That's a good point. I would say Meredith, I never saw Meredith's mom.
Don't you see her parents at the talent show?
Dad is the principal.
Oh,
Meredith. Sorry. Now I'm doing
it. Dad is the principal. Yes. We never hear about her mother. It is odd.
You see the Asian biracial family.
Yes. Yeah. And they seem to be, seems to be an only child, maybe?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
They're a nuclear family, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
And they're very protective of her and her fashion. You know, she's, you know.
Well, she also has successfully managed to have built a secret room in her. In,
a bat yeah. cave in her, Scientist. A fashion cave. Yeah, a That's, fashion cave.
That
yeah.
would be impossible. To have like a sliding door secret closet. But that's where I'm okay. You know, this is a bit of wish yeah, fulfillment like for it. Kids who want that. That's like, fun. I get that. But also, like, architecturally, that would be impossible to put in a secret room.
That's how we go.
I will say, too, it is an odd choice for your four main characters to be so dynamically great at everything.
Oh, they're geniuses instantly.
They're amazing at soccer. They're amazing at singing. They're amazing at fashion. They're amazing
catering.
At science. Catering, cooking. There is not a single thing they can't do except for keep friends. I mean, that's their only yeah. downfall. They are, but I thought that was odd. Like, there's not much for them. There's like not.
Everybody's like a triple threat.
Yeah. yeah.
Everybody can do everything because also many of the jocks also, like the deaf boy is also a big time jock. Now, is he deaf because of an accident? Did
yeah,
he say?
I think
because
so. He's like, I miss music.
So he's recently deaf.
It's well, I'm probably going to say something very ignorant, but this is a big disclaimer because I think if he would have been born deaf, there's no way his voice would sound like.
No,
that.
Yes, I think right. it's. Correct. I think this
oh,
has
you're fine.
Happened
you're,
to
but why does he call her so ignorant?
Because she says
you don't sound deaf.
Because he's like, how dare you assume that I can hear? Based on the sound of my voice, there's a range of deaf experiences.
Right. Yeah, he's saying yes. that, yeah, she doesn't, right. yeah, she's expecting him to do something that would be very stereotypical.
And by the way, he does dip into what I can imagine would be called deaf voice by like an acting coach.
He
and
does,
you can
I
feel,
never heard
he
it.
He slips yeah. into it twice,
a couple times, yeah.
barely, and then you could feel they were like, pull back.
Pull back.
We don't want that. Back. It was almost like do one as without any affectation and let's just yeah. taste it. Here's my favorite scene where
Why doesn't
the,
he sign?
Where... Well, he does a little bit.
What does he do? Go for it?
Go for it.
This
He's
is when,
a great lip reader.
When the music teacher... Well, oh. he does at one point when they say hummus or something. Or she said foie gras.
Pamplemousse. She says pamplemousse.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not that good. But this is when the music teacher finds him. I just like this.
Oh.
This is him playing the piano.
Dylan, you've been holding out on
him. Huh?
All this time, I thought you were just some cool jock.
What?
I miss music.
I feel you, but you don't have to.
What are you talking about? I can't hear.
Come here.
Like
that's the music switch you're talking about.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
This is feels it on his neck. So he's a DJ who is feeling it all on his neck, which I didn't know that was a thing. I don't know. Maybe it is a thing.
It's also a thing apparently
that
the
earphones.
Yeah.
Well, I get, yeah.
He
but
feels the
saying,
vibration.
Like, but could you, but based on vibration, are you going to be able to be effective DJ is my question.
Right. Well, I think this Bratz is kind of tackling that question.
Yeah. yeah. I feel like if anything, that's what this movie is about.
Yeah. Sound is vibration. Yeah. Vibration is sound.
yeah. You know, and it's just moving through the airwaves, mm-hmm. connecting us all together. Are you okay, Kate?
Yeah, we're the Bratz. We're the Bratz.
I would like to pitch the four of us now to be in the next Bratz movie.
Oh, I would love it.
As, like, the Bratz all grown up.
Big Bratz.
Big Bratz.
Big Bratz.
I love Big Bratz.
Bratz Vacation. I'm ready, so.
Because Bratz Vacation is about people with different backgrounds yep. doing different things.
Big Bratz! Not to be confused with Big Brats, which is movie we're making.
That's our Chicago-based movie where we all own a sausage factory.
right.
We still have all the same issues,
yep.
but we just deal with them differently.
Yep. And then the crossover movie, Bratz vs. Brats.
and we'll be playing duplicates of ourselves. It's going to be really fun.
I love it.
I want to talk about the food fight.
Oh,
I want to talk about the food.
By the way, why is everybody in the cafeteria eating a
so
giant
much
bowl
pasta.
Of spaghetti?
so much pasta. When the first pasta dump happens,
huge.
It is as if a full boiling pot of pasta is poured on her.
Well, here's
like
something from
disgustingly
the
disgustingly hot day too. Like, why is everybody in the school eating giant bowls of pasta?
I'm going to just say that when the director in the commentary said, not enough spaghetti in that scene.
No.
Literally.
No, you're kidding.
Not enough. Did not have enough spaghetti in that scene.
Oh, my God.
But by the way, she wore that spaghetti better than, like, I was like,
well,
wow.
Well, she's the fashion one. She knows how to make spaghetti work.
When that spaghetti, like, it it landed on her and it didn't like just fall off. It like stayed on her head like a mop almost. Like
there was also a stifled laugh. I don't know if anyone else caught it.
Oh, no.
No.
What's her name? The lead.
Yasmin?
Yeah. Yasmin gets a fistful of spaghetti and you can see her start to laugh. And I was like, cut.
She's having a great time.
Let's redo
Take it
this.
Again.
Let's reset the box. Everybody, reset the box.
This is interesting about those actresses. You know, because I think what they ended up doing was casting dancers. Mm. Wow. Do you know there's that whole like, she's a dancer who can act. She's an actress who
Disney,
can dance.
Like
that Disney, yes. That and I think that disease. They were all ultimately dancers and that kind of like That's Disney Mouseketeer world that they gave a movie to.
Well, IMDb doesn't lie. Look at the credits
absolutely.
After. Picking up.
Yeah, no, the only one who really took off was the bad girl, Meredith.
They always do.
Yeah, she was on a TV show that lasted for 100 episodes. Here's an interesting thing this movie. Paula Abdul was going to be the executive producer, fashion designer, and choreographer of this film, but was fired.
She looks like an adult brat.
She does. And
she's brat. Yeah.
She was fired over email, and you can watch it on her TV series, Hey Paula, where she gets email.
I feel like I've seen this too.
I've seen that. Wait, how come?
She's
like in a studio, right?
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, hey, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So what would this movie would have been if it was...
Oh,
I don't have tape. I wish I had the Paula getting the call.
I've seen that moment.
Guys, I have an update.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There are multiple Bratz movies, many of them starring these same girls.
What?
This is Bratz the movie.
There's one called Bratz For Real. What is that?
Wait, but are you saying that they are continuing their
character? Wait a minute. Maybe I'm looking
at it. There's a lot of Bratz cartoons.
Maybe these. Okay, sorry. I might be wrong.
Cartoons.
I need to look
at it. Yes. But
there's a lot going on. She's also, Yasmin is also in Switched at Birth.
Mm-hmm.
She also plays Gretchen in Switched at Birth on the ABC Family Show. I'm just checking it out.
Jade was in Bratz For Real, the video game.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
If you guys are playing Bratz
For Real. Sasha, the woman who plays Sasha, she is one of the characters in Dear White People. I'm just now looking at what they're doing.
Good for her.
Look, guys,
I don't know that it's their
fault. Bratz For Real.
I think it's always tough to have younger actors.
Oh, I think they're
acting.
Disney kids, kind of coming out of the Disney Channel
I've
stuff.
I've seen it. I don't know why.
I have too.
It's so scary.
I need to get this Bratz For Real video game. It's pretty amazing.
I'm a little concerned, Paul, that you are purchasing all of the Bratz content.
Shut up, Jason. Just shut your mouth. It's fine. This is a movie, and it's a movie show,
I love it. Check his browser history, June.
Bratz.
All the terrible songs were clearly written for this movie and all had like thematic lyrics that were like not at all subtext, were just text. Like it would be like they would have a moment of making up and then the song would be like, and all the songs were weirdly chunky guitar rock and roll songs, not songs these kids would listen to.
By the way, they weren't fun songs. They had no energy to.
We're friends now.
I didn't mind Meredith's song at our Sweet 16 Fabulous.
No, that was fine.
That I appreciated.
What was it? It's All About Me?
Yes. I just simply couldn't understand the lyrics of the Bratz last number, which was like, we're attitude of gratitude.
Gratitude.
Oh, June. You want to hear some
Bratitude.
Platitude. To feel some gratitude.
You know they want to go on Broadway with this.
No, that was gratitude.
Gratitude.
Wait, here we go.
It's not at platitude.
Well,
they're rhyming with platitude.
I thought I heard Bratitude in there. Bratitude.
Bratitude is just an attitude.
I see. Okay, so
it's Bratitude.
Gratitude is not an attitude.
It's not a platitude to feel some gratitude, which I think is...
Yeah, you have the latitude.
I can't even... You have latitude. I couldn't really make... Like, this is the song that's supposed to kind of harness their whole
But it's like, it's very gospel-y. Like, that's a gospel-y song. It's like...
Right.
Like, I was like, it's not a... You know, it's like... I'm like... And
there are vocals of 40-year-old women, too.
Yes. Oh,
100.
Yeah, a lot of backup singers.
Coming out of children.
Yes, end credits song that Yasmin sings is like
I got
40-year-old Matt.
I got that again. Here we go.
That's her.
That's Yasmin.
That's her.
We're supposed to believe that that
she's
is
now the
Yasmin.
Insane. That is
without the visual, it's even more startling.
Yeah. Well, by the way, they do a song at the end where then after the main song is over, they cut to this white room and a white piano. And
Paul, why are you watching the post-credit scenes? Paul, what is happening?
I watched this movie in one sitting from midnight to 1:50 in the morning last night.
Up late at night like a real perv watching the Bratz movie.
The craziest part
and you bought it.
Is he also watched it with his mom last night?
Yeah, I did watch it with my mom. My mom was like, "What is this?"
Oh,
she's
my
like, "Well,
God.
You're going to have plenty to talk about on your podcast about this."
She was like, "How did this get made?"
Oh, I would love it if your mom was a guest on the podcast.
Oh my God, with you.
It would be a lot of questions that you would be uncomfortable answering.
Yeah.
She's like,
that's
do you think that they're attractive? Do you think they're attractive? I don't think so. It looks like she was hit by a bus. My mom is very critical of these young girls.
Yes, very critical of women.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice. Plus, visit your in-laws. Plus, venture into the wilderness. Plus, wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick plus Mean Girls plus Jack Reacher plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas plus free delivery plus Paramount Plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required.
When you're thinking of hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching. And you know what? Did you know that 70% of users don't even visit other leading job sites? If you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses might not have the time or resources, so they're constantly finding ways to make the process easier. 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate in 24 hours, and they even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/valuable. That's linkedin.com/valuable to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
I was traveling with my kids. We stopped to get breakfast at Shake Shack, and my kids said, "Mom said we can have milkshakes." And I was so tired. It didn't make sense to me, but I was like, if June says the kids can have milkshakes, I'll get them milkshakes. I got them milkshakes. June's like, "I never said that." And you know what? I felt ripped off. I felt ripped off by my own kids. And that's the feeling I never like to have. I never like to get ripped off by anyone. And that's why Harry's started their company of Harry's Razors, because they saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, and they decided to do something better. That's right. They decided to do a razor that had a great price, high customer satisfaction, that had a no-risk trial, and they have other self-care products that meet the same quality standards as their razors, okay? I love the body wash, and they have deodorant that smells damn good. I gotta tell you, I love these razors. They are perfect, and now I am a paying subscriber. That's right. So do not settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3. That's right. Go to harrys.com/bonkers. That's harrys.com/bonkers for a $3 trial set.
So the birthday party scene, I do want to point out when the MTV crew is there, It's a guy.
It's four people.
I saw one guy
with a camcorder.
I saw one guy with a camcorder with an MTV shirt. That was it. And then the producer who comes up with the most fake ending of all time.
Stu Perlman or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
who am I, yeah. Is that a real one talking
about? Yes, Stu Perlman is a guy who put together like the Backstreet Boys and everything like that.
Lou Pearlman.
Sorry.
Is that that person?
No.
I mean, this is what he does.
It's an homage, in my opinion.
He comes up with this.
Tom McShavy, Vice President, MTV Networks.
He's like the lost Busey, this guy.
Networks. No.
And it's got the best numbers to date. You in the pool. Outrageous.
My idea.
Smart girl. Oh, but you four girls, whoa. You have got superstar written all over you.
They do?
Oh, without question. Hey, we're having a movie premiere next Saturday night. How would you girls like to be the featured act on the red carpet?
Featured act.
Two words. Duh.
Fantastic. We'll be in touch.
BFFs. Woo! Even better.
Brats.
That's how red carpets.
I haven't been to a million red carpets. I've been to a handful, more than a handful. Never seen a band on the red carpet ever.
The featured act.
As the featured act.
So that means there are other acts.
I need to pull up to show your faces to see your faces on the final closing song of the Bratz movie. I just want to see what you guys.
The white room.
Is this so you can watch it again? This is weird, man.
They're really talented, and I like supporting young artists who are really into whatever. Really you're gross, man.
I think it is. I am disturbed though that I looked up and this has like 2 stars, and I really feel like it deserves more. Katie. And I think it's such an upsetting symptom of misogyny in our culture. This was not celebrated.
Lost your mind. Well, this is the weird thing about Meredith. I think you've lost your mind. I think this movie is so terrible. And I also think it's terrible because it's such a ripoff of, like, the Meredith character. I'm so tired of seeing this girl in these movies. Like, she has no redeeming qualities. And we also have, like, what does she want, ultimately?
Order.
She
wants power. Order.
Power. But how does she experience power?
Control. Okay. I'll go down here with you.
All right. So control over just knowing everybody's in their place, because people openly do not like her.
Right.
And
she, on the first day of school, they come to her.
Nobody seems that scared of her. Like, I have no idea what she's getting out of this order.
She also is so involved in these things. Like, she's running the talent show and stacking it purposefully with untalented people.
Again, to what end? I can see her wanting to win
dominance.
A scholarship.
She wants to, I think she wants to, she basically is in control of the whole school. She's student body president. Everybody goes through her. She decides where everybody sits. She is,
by the way, she
rigid. Yeah. She's rigid and keeping control of everything. She's going to win the talent show. She's going to have the best Sweet 16, blah, blah, blah. The existence of these four girls as four girls from disparate groups who are forging a bond and a clique of their own, like, challenges her supremacy or her primacy as the rule maker, order maker, order giver, and allows for people to say, well, then if they don't have to listen to her, we don't have to listen to her, and that means chaos.
Well, but
she wants love. She wants love. And the brats threaten, absolutely.
Yeah.
She wants love. And the brats.
Where is she getting it from?
Exactly. She's not getting it. And so the brats connection threatens her subjectivity. She's like, I have to break that up because that the connection they have threatens my identity. So the only way I'm going to maintain any power is if I divide up them.
Here's what's hard for me.
She does genuinely seem to love herself, though.
Yeah. Which honestly, and I think is a powerful, which I applaud.
Well, I guess I do too, but that's what's weird about the character is that if we saw that she was in pain over this situation she's gotten herself into, which is that she can't have any real connections and she's set up the system in the school that she thinks is going to help her, but there should be a certain amount of pain, though, that she experiences because of not having any real friendship.
She also doesn't.
Bratz does not go there. Like, Mean Girls beautifully does that. We see Regina sad.
Yes.
I'm not saying Bratz doesn't have limits. I'm not saying there aren't walls. Okay. But I'm just saying.
Wow, it's really hard for you to say.
I was blown away.
Wow. Well, and then she lords really with a flash moment. Drive. The only reason why those people are even friends with her is because she lords over them with this flash drive. And at the end, there's no comeuppance for her at all.
Not at all.
Because she still wins.
Yes.
She still wins. I think ultimately what we're supposed to take away is that she – what we know she's not winning because she doesn't have her friends. Crew of brats. But the – I don't know.
Well, what I'm surprised with in this movie is normally this person, especially in a movie like this that's aimed at kids, normally in this movie, that character would have a
boyfriend or
she has a boyfriend, the guy that ends up with Chloe.
But she doesn't really care about him.
No, she doesn't care about anyone.
She only cares about him sociopath. In the sense that she doesn't want someone else to take him.
100% a sociopath,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
she loves her dog, so I would argue she's not a sociopath. She's a strong connection to Paris, the dog.
True.
Who dresses just like her, and the director said that was one of the coolest things that
but
he thought.
But she never has a moment.
Classic filmic.
She never has a moment where, like, she learns her lesson or whatever. When we see her at the end of the movie, she and her dad are spying on the brats singing in classic black hat, black turtleneck, spy thief gear.
Yeah.
which is to assume, like, oh, she's truly a villain.
And they're going to college.
That, to me, seems like the wrong message to be sending. Yeah. To me, the message to send is like, oh, even the girl who is the villain or the enemy needs to be understood and needs to, like, figure herself out.
Of course, we all have the monster inside of us.
But she should have realized that she could become friends, like real friends with these people, and it would be okay.
But that never happens. In fact, she's just turned into an even more cartoonish villain, I feel.
Can I just
ask, should have had her confession moment.
Can I ask one question? Why did the Sweet 16 party backfire? It seemed like somebody fell into the pool, and then the next day they're like, oh, well, the cliques are back now.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like there was any connective tissue to why the cliques went immediately back into position after they – I don't understand.
I think that was – one of the very few flaws in the screenwriting that you're building to these two set pieces in the third act instead of just one. It's either going to be the Sweet 16 or it's going to be the talent show.
Right.
And in this movie, it was sort of both, and weirdly, like, neither of them had.
And weird, but odd, because also it builds to this moment where everyone confesses. I'll just play this, because this is also like, well, is that the point of this movie, that everyone has confessions? Like, here we go.
I eavesdropped on my sister, and then I betrayed her. Yasmin, I'm very sorry.
Most of my friends think I'm a tough jock, but I've been taking ballet since I was 5. And you know what? I like it.
I'm Bubby, and I am a chocoholic.
Hi, Bubby.
The one that you didn't include, which is the most insane one, everybody's admitting, like, secret, I'm secretly passionate about ballet, but I'm embarrassed, or I love chocolate, or whatever. There's a nerd kid who gets up and is like, I cheated on all of my exams. I cheated on my term paper. I cheated on my finals. Like, everybody else is, like, having a moment of revelation that is met with, like, acceptance by the crowd. This kid is going to be expelled for his.
Immediately,
they're going to be like, you don't get to go to college.
His future is totally jeopardized.
Yes, is the moral that, like, these people were, like, these girls freed everyone in school from having different interests? Is that is that what we're building to?
Yes.
You can be a nerd and you can be into fashion. You can be a this. Okay.
Well, it's her monologue. She's like, I'm a science. I love science. But you know what? I also love fashion.
Yes.
And I thought that was exciting. Exalt
by the way,
the
that's a cool, yes, you that's a still, cool story.
Yes. You can still be femme presenting and be interested in science.
Yes.
All right. How about the fact that no matter where they are, whether they're at the Sweet 16, at school itself, which makes sense, but then anywhere else in the world, if you are a cheerleader or a jock or a member of the marching band, you only wear your uniform. Like, at the Sweet 16, the cheerleaders are all wearing cheerleader uniforms. Like,
the people who love dinosaurs have dinosaur lapel pins on and are dressed as dinosaurs sometimes. Oh. That's another section of people that were discriminated against in this school. And they also, like, when they go over to her house, she's like, oh, we're just practicing. But they're all in their full.
Yeah.
They're always in their cheerleader.
They're in it.
Everybody's always wearing uniforms if their characters have them.
Well,
except for our girls. Like, Jade will be with the. No, Sasha will be with the cheerleaders.
She's
wearing normal clothes, and they're all only wearing uniforms.
Yeah. So. It was weird when the cheerleader came up to her at the end, the captain, saying, you know, we do want you on the team, but it's like, well, has she been auditioning for this team for 2 years?
You would think.
I mean, it seemed like her position was being...
She was still trying out years later. But that's the thing is, like, everybody basically has a moment. Every character, every brat has a moment where their chosen clique comes up to them and is like, listen, we love you. You're great. We want you on the team. We want you on the whatever. But if you don't hang out with us exclusively, you can't do it.
That's what I wanted to know.
That would not be allowed.
What Yasmin was doing in those 2 years, because she is the only one that didn't have a clique.
Yes, because she's too afraid to sing.
So she's just what? But at one point, she holds up a sign when she gets her invitation from Meredith in a balloon that popped. The sign says journalism.
Right? Yes.
The easy way out, as we all know.
Yes. Sure. Journalism.
Yeah, I guess so.
She says she has a journalism thing earlier in the movie as well.
She says those words?
She says she has like something for journalism. She does. I remember it. I remember hearing it and be like, what is that?
So that's what she was. Those are the kids she was hanging out with.
Like, yeah, she's a real.
She covered the Gulf War.
She's a real.
She should have been breaking the story on Meredith. What's going on? What's making her tick? The hard drive. The dad. The inner.
And she could have used it to her advantage, digging up dirt, being an investigative journalist. She could be a real Rory Gilmore.
I
still want to talk about the magician that clearly killed that girl in the box.
Oh yeah,
he killed that girl. And
why was Yasmin's little brother at the Sweet 16.
He snuck in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did John Voight have a bodyguard?
Who's also the vice president?
Vice principal. Yeah.
So that was confusing.
Vice principal.
I forgot to cast it. And he's like, you're both. Yeah.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Come gather round, listeners, on every device. And keep your ears open, I won't say it twice. Paul, June, and Jason are not very nice to bad movies, over which there's a shit ton. Their mockery of mediocrity will not suffice. It's time for a second opinion. Paul, you're quite funny on screen and on stage, but you've got a few black marks on your own wiki page. Bad films are released in wave after wave. Don't act like you've never been in one. We all saw your shoulder on screen in Meet Dave. It's time for a second opinion.
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. These people love Bratz, and you know what? I think they're on Kate's camp here. This is written by CoolKid363. This movie delivers important messages every preteen should understand before heading to high school. Friendship is important, how to stand up for yourself. Plus, most preteens would enjoy this movie as many are excited to head into high school, and the movie gives them an insight of what high school is really like. And let's face it, it's impossible for a movie to give perfect insight of what high school is really like.
Oh, boy.
I actually think that's fair.
Yeah. You know.
These are a little bit different than we normally get. This is a good one. This is from Melanie Stepp. The language amounts to about 5 or 6 uses of God's name, but no more. A few times the characters expose a little belly, and there are a few short skirts. Meredith wears the most revealing out of all the characters.
Who cares? How dare you?
But the clothing is mostly very layered and modest, vastly different from the doll counterparts. Fashion and shopping and beauty are emphasized a little too heavily, but it's all fun. And not trying to look too sexy. Jade does lie to her parents, but she later apologizes. Aggressive shopping is shown in a not good light. I mean, do we really want to be jerking belts from other people's hands and playing a tug of war until one person goes flying?
When the camera's there, we do.
Overall, it's an extremely enjoyable movie that I want to watch again despite myself. 5 stars.
Oh my God, I would not give it the big five. Okay.
How many stars would you give it?
Three.
Oh, nice.
Wow, that's, I feel what that's it fair is for June. You. Yeah. Okay.
For what it is.
Yeah. For what it is.
Because I really, I'm telling you, when I pressed play, I went, here we go. This is going to be pure trash.
And I enjoyed it more than you thought.
You know what? They're reaching. And in this day and age, a little ambition, seeing that, that for me gives you stars.
Wow. And by the way, Kate, you can come over to my house anytime and watch it. I own it now.
Thank you so much.
This is weird getting weirder.
By the way, I do think that if Paula Abdul did get behind this movie, it would have ratcheted this movie up.
Music and dancing.
I also think, unlike many of the movies we do, I will judge this less harshly because it is a movie made for children. Like, in a way that, even though we've tackled other, like,
yeah,
like kid movies, Gooby and, yeah, and like terrible, this, like, there was something about it which I felt like it couldn't be as sharp. It had to be dulled or whatever because of its intent, its intended audience.
In some ways, I feel the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Which is that the movies made for children are so important.
It should be held to a higher standard.
It should be held to a higher standard because
well,
of it.
Well, I'll tell you that Roy wrote on January 25th, "This product was delivered on time. My daughter loves this movie. I bought it for her, and she's a grown woman. Need I say more?"
Ooh,
5 stars.
Gross.
Weird.
I don't like any of that.
And then finally, we end with Cool Cat, who says, "I thought it was pretty good compared to those other stupid movies that came out this year, like Knocked Up."
What?
Yeah. If you love the Bratz, I would say get this. It is not overrated. They didn't show any Cleveland. Sorry. They didn't show any cleavage.
Cleavage?
I was starting to laugh at the fact that this guy is pervo. I just started to laugh at it. It isn't overrated.
Are you laughing to cover the fact that you wrote this?
Whatever.
Are you trying about this movie? Are you Roy?
It isn't overrated. They didn't show any cleavage, and it was enjoyable for all audiences. I can't think of a movie that is better than it.
Wow.
And it's definitely better than SpongeBob, and I wasted my money on that. 5 stars.
Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, more cleavage for sure in this movie, Roy, a.k.a. Paul Scheer.
I also felt like the girls got a bum rap for breaking that bust. I feel like whoever put that principal's bust on that, they didn't solder it down or anything.
No,
it was very bad.
Did you guys notice that during the food fight, there were, at a certain point, just cream pies on the ground that people started picking up and throwing at each other? No. There just were cream pies.
Damn, they bend down
and pick up cream pies and start mushing them into each other's faces during the food fight. I was like, why are those just there on the ground, like in tins?
Yeah.
Movie magic.
I always felt in middle school and high school a little scared a food fight was going to break out. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many food fights in like teen movies and kids movies. I always like felt like I was living under the fear that at any moment someone was going to throw, you know, a
Our parents
at me.
Lived and under the happened. Fear that there was going to be like an atomic bomb. And we had food fight.
Yeah.
We would do a terrible thing in my cafeteria where you would like say someone was sitting down, and it could be anybody. It wouldn't just be a nerd thing. It would be, and if you pulled the seat out from underneath them and they fell on the ground, the entire cafeteria would start chanting, "Dick, dick, dick, dick," and it would be like 100 or something people just
even
all
you.
Of course, me. Yeah, I mean, and by the way, the worst moment that happened here was there was a football player was on crutches one time, and he was pushed backwards, and his crutch broke the window, and he fell out the window into a courtyard. It was the same level courtyard. Fell out the window, and the whole cafeteria was like, "Dick, dick, dick!" As this man has fallen through
the cruelty of children. Yeah, that's terrifying.
And I thought, and it was so fun. To everyone be
to
chanting
be part of the
dick,
gang.
Because you could yell dick, and you weren't getting, it was in a Catholic school, you couldn't get in trouble, and everyone's screaming dick, and the brothers couldn't control it. But now thinking about
Did
that
it never
young man,
to you?
Never happened to me, thank God. Oh. Thank God.
Oh. It still might.
It may.
And here at the Earwolf Cafeteria.
No. we had to do some pretty fucked up stuff in my school. We dumped a kid in a garbage can head first.
All right, babe.
We used to, for our marching band initiation, we would pick up the freshmen. This is the nerds against nerds. And there was like a big, huge industrial sink in the band room. And you would spend, first we would fill up the sink like halfway. And then you would get dunked in the sink, basically. That was your initiation.
This is fun.
Classic.
It was very fun.
Yeah, that seems
it was very innocuous.
More light spirit.
Oh, it was very innocuous. Yeah. So basically you like were wet for the next period.
That's okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Paul, you know what, man? I know you got brats on the brain with their busty cleavage.
Yeah. There's some good cleavage there. let's just go around the horn here. Jason, do you recommend the movie?
I don't really. I mean, this is. I mean, listen. If my nieces were like, "We're gonna watch the Bratz," I'd be like, "Okay." I mean, I'd rather you watch something a little better. But that's what I mean. Like on a message level, it's all about being friends, staying friends, looking out for each other, being generous to people, being kind, having each other's back. Look, you know, like it has all the right messaging for, I'm sure, the little girls that are the intended audience. But as a movie, it is just kind of boring, you know, like it really is. And it is the level of intrusive song placement is maddening.
It's
frankly
distracting.
It is aggressive.
It distracts from the Bratz.
Oh, yeah. I want, you know, I want to focus on these Bratz, you know.
Of course you
do. Not the way that Paul does.
Hey, I like these girls. Kate, what would you say?
I would say Bratz, you know, it can't help but escape. It does not succeed in escaping kind of the trappings that you might expect from a film like this.
Yeah.
And at times they are offensive and not
stereotypical
productive.
And yeah.
Right. However, I would say that it's well directed. I truly feel that way. And I think it's visually, again, shot on film. And I think
you gotta appreciate that. By the way, that's something that we got like a lot of these movies we don't give it enough credit. It was shot on film.
Yeah, we've got some cool shots.
It feels big. It feels big.
They have an elephant in this movie.
It's ambitious, and I recommend it on like a family ski trip when everyone's asleep.
Oh,
I've never gone skiing with my family. But
that's the only parameters in which you would recommend watching it.
Everyone's asleep.
Like you find this DVD in a ski cabin. Yeah. Like, what Bratz?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to do a puzzle of a boat.
Yeah.
You're just like,
watch Bratz.
Most people are not wealthy enough to ski, so because it's an expensive sport.
Again, never went skiing as a child. I feel like it's a ski-oriented
DVD. I'm curious in the same way if people in our audience, the young people that is, are going to feel about this movie the way that other people felt about when we did Spice World and felt like this is preposterous and people were like, what are you talking about? This is my life?
Right.
No, I don't think so. I think Spice World was more our generation or my generation.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have listeners who went to see Bratz.
Yeah.
But listeners, I want to hear it. Did you
go see Bratz?
When you were growing up, they were 10.
Yeah.
Which means that now
they're
20. Okay, maybe they are listening.
Wow. Yep. Listen, 20-year-olds, if you're out there and you're listening to the show, let us know. Did this movie mean something to you? Were there girls who grew up being like, I'm a Jade, I'm a Yasmin, I'm a, like
Chloe,
everybody else
Sasha.
Was like, I'm a
My
Samantha, I'm a
Raya.
I mean, I think what we are missing in our reading of this movie is the whole... more of the source material. I think we only know
the
dolls.
We gotta go back to the source.
No.
I think, Paul, to the source.
I think there's more that we don't know.
But you guys,
about their families.
Actually, that reminds me of a great thing. Guys, as you know, we are launching a lot of other podcasts built off of this podcast. Bitch Sesh came out of our feed. Yeah. Welcome to the Bratcast. We're here. We're talking nothing but Bratz.
We're gonna get into the cartoons, the video game.
Nothing but Bratz.
We're gonna talk about the Bratz.
It's because we got that Bratitude. And, you know, here we are. It's just us. Yasmin, Sasha, Jade, and Chloe here talking Bratz with you.
I do think, though, there's another way to experience this movie, and I don't think any of us were able to really...
I enjoyed it.
Enjoy it, because I think, like, we probably would have known more about their families and what happened to Chloe's dad and all of that stuff.
What happened to Chloe's dad? We gotta know. I bet it's in the book.
As he left the family.
Abandoned them.
Yeah. You know, it's hard.
I don't think it was a death. I think he left the family and we have no money and there's an unsupportive dad.
I gotta say, June, it's like, you know, especially with that movie It coming out, it's so hard you know, to adapt a piece of source material into a feature film and get everything right. Dark sure. Towers having that issue. You know, and I think...
Are you suggesting that this is a Stephen King property?
I'm just saying that, you know, like...
It did have clowns in it, like,
you know,
it.
Yeah, look, I'm just saying...
It would be amazing if it was, like, the four breaths.
Part of the Stephen King world.
Pennywise.
Thinner, there's elements of the Thinner in here.
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, there's a lot... Look, all I'm saying is... It's so hard to bring everything that you know from an action figure, 10-inch action figure, and be able to put that in a movie. The first Harry Potter movie was so hard to get all that in there. You know, and this is an action figure. That's a bigger than
10
most
inches
books.
10 inches to 35 millimeters, baby.
That's right.
June, you recommend it or no?
No, right. I couldn't ever. No, I didn't. I didn't enjoy it. And I went in, actually, when I saw that we were watching Bratz, I was excited. So I also went in – I was excited it's not like a sci-fi movie or – I felt like it was in a genre that I could definitely stomach, and I was disappointed.
I say buy this. It's $7.99.
Oh, boy.
It's a steal.
Oh,
you know, you're going to rent it. It's going to be $4.
You're a real
like,
creep.
You know, don't worry about it. Support the Bratz.
I feel like someone
get back
your
$20
age
million
should be able to buy this movie.
Bratz, Bratitude, Bratitude.
That makes sense why you're wearing that crop top t-shirt.
Whatever.
Today.
I think it's fun and it's nice and it's hot out. Kate, talk to us about what you're doing. We know you have this great Vimeo series, 555.
Oh, thank you.
That you can get cheaply. It's not an expensive
three,
buy.
Less than Bratz, folks. $3.99, less than Bratz. You get five less episodes starring myself and John Early, directed by Andy DeYoung.
And
just check it out.
It's really funny, and you have to
it's
go to Vimeo.com to get it. That's it. That's where people, you know.
If you get scared, just Google Vimeo, Kate Berlant, John
Something
Early.
Yeah. You'll
find it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else you want to talk about? No? Anybody?
No, I'm good.
June?
I would just suggest for those listeners who are activist-minded, there's two great things you can check out. Five Calls, which is an app you can download, and ResistBot, which makes it really easy to call and contact your representatives.
I actually just use that. It's great. It sends a fax right to your representative. You write it on your text, and it
nice.
Goes right
Literally
in.
Just
well, I
them.
Am a senator.
Oh,
and
wow.
I wasn't going to say that
Whoa.
Here, but I am involved.
I like
so
it.
Write to me, and we're going to do it.
Great.
Are we sure they all have faxes? Fax seems like outmoded.
Do. Yeah, you want to get
it's
all
not.
That.
No, faxes it's is actually like, just as
it's actually
meaningful
more
as phone call.
Because
and
you
they
be,
deal with so much paper. It's like,
yeah.
yes,
you want to inconvenience these people. Trust me, when my secretary brings me a stack of faxes, I go, okay, I'll read the bill again.
And yeah. I appreciate you taking some of the time out of your schedule to watch this movie, because you were probably in that office, people knocking on
I
that
know.
Door. And you're
I
like,
got home and my husband said, are you kidding? And I said, put the briefs, he's a lawyer, put the briefs down.
I'm glad you said he was a lawyer, because I would have thought his underwear.
Put
the briefs down and put the Bratz in.
I said, put the Bratz in, we're going to have fun. He loved it, I loved it, we had fun.
Just a reminder to sign up for our mailing list. You can find that on our Facebook page and our Twitter page. That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I will answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But more importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun, and we have a good time with it. See you next week. Bye for now.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.